happening, including the marriage variety, have you ever thought of it? The compromise, the willing to listen, all those kinds of things. This is really great. I loved it.
Hey, it is a marriage. That's what it is. So, yeah. For better or for worse.
Terry, I think Keith, you have your hand up.
Yes, Terry, Keith Haley here. I think you mentioned, when you talked, how are you? Good to talk to you again. About committee members getting together on their own without the SLA. Is that, I don't know if the word legal is the word, but I know when Brian was here, he seemed to think we weren't allowed to get together just as a committee. We always had to have the SLA involved, and I was just curious if that's true or false.
Okay, that's an excellent question. If you are conducting, first of all, everything boils down to whatever your state sunshine law says. So, you know, some state committees of blind vendors are covered by their Open Meetings Act or their sunshine law. Some committees are not. If you don't know whether you are or not, don't ask, but you don't want to be. But there are a lot of them that are covered. So the I would have to look at what your particular law says. But obviously, if you're covered by the Sunshine Act, you are not allowed to conduct any sort of meetings where you're conducting any kind of business or anything like that. I think having phone calls and having meetings with your vendors, I've never seen where that was an issue. But without looking at your particular state law, because every one of those state laws are different, but it could be a problem depending on how you're monitoring.
If we weren't conducting business per se, and we were just getting together, as you mentioned, to get to know each other, or maybe to get somebody's, get the committee's idea on a certain subject without taking any votes or anything, is that the same thing as conducting business under the letter of the law?
I don't, again, it's all your state law says. I don't think so, because I don't think the law says you can't have committee members at the same place at the same time. But you obviously can't conduct business, but I would make that distinction, but I can't really advise you without looking at the state law.
Understood. Thank you.
Terry, sorry. I'm not sure who that is.
Go ahead, Shelby.
Okay. I had a question. You touched on, if everyone does all those things, they'd be a great addition to any committee. Now, have you ever seen an instance or been a part of an instance where it wasn't so majority across the board? I don't think anyone completely is a total waste of time or waste of space, but have you ever had an instance where there was some sort of no confidence vote for a chair or even a committee member, where they were asked to step down?
Yeah, I've known it to happen. It's happened recently. That's a tough one right there, because the situation I'm referring to has nothing to do with their ability to be a committee person. It's just a lot of disagreements, and it all depends. Hopefully you guys have bylaws, and that would be governed by your bylaws as to whether or not you could actually vote somebody off. It gets tricky, because this is what I've always said. You should not have the authority to overrule the wishes of the people. And if the people have voted X person in there, unless they have done something to where they cannot be effective as a committee member, then you got to sort of go with caution. Now, they may have done something so egregious that they need to be removed, and I totally understand that. I think they should be. But that should be governed by your bylaws. And just make sure it's not something willy-nilly where you can just say, we don't like this guy, we're going to vote him off.
No personal agenda is allowed, obviously.
Okay, all right.
Thank you.
appreciate it, and I hope you have a good rest of your meeting, and I apologize for going over a few minutes, but Tyrell gave me permission, so I took it, and so you guys, and I know several of you, I know Tyrell and Frank and Keith and some others up there know how to get in touch with me, so anybody needs me for anything, have any questions or whatever, you guys just holler.
I appreciate so much, sir. Greatly, greatly appreciate it. My statistical data will be on its way this afternoon.
See ya.
Enjoy the vacation.
Bye.
All right, talk soon. Thank you. That was great. It's always good to hear from Terry Smith. He's a ball of knowledge and certainly a resource on both ends of the puzzle. When we talk about our program. Before we move on to the agenda, we may have a pop-in by our acting director, Cheryl, as well as Commissioner Port, in which I anticipate will likely be joining this call in the next minute or so. So I don't want to jump into topic to then just have to stop. And here we are. We have our acting director, Cheryl Seflak, on our call.
Hello, everyone. Hi, Tyrell.
Hello.
Do we see Commissioner Porter yet?
I do not. I'm sure she's busy.
Yeah.
But I'm sure she'll jump in if she can. So everyone, Cheryl has done a tremendous job filling in for Brian as Brian's retired. And Cheryl has really been extremely helpful during this period. As you all know, the agency has received a lot of retirements occurred. Cheryl has come in a temporary position to really try to restructure our agency while we look to fill Brian's position in a permanent manner. We also now have our Commissioner Porter on the call. Commissioner, welcome.
Thank you.
Commissioner Porter is on the call as well, and so I'm just going to hand the floor over to you two to give your speech.
Thanks, Tyrell.
Absolutely.
Amy, do you want to kick off?
You can go first. It's
okay. Oh. No, you go first. Great. Well, again, Tyrell, thank you, and good afternoon, everyone who's in the meeting. I know you've been at it for a while, and I think you have a little bit more to go, and so Commissioner Porter and I just wanted to steal a few minutes of your time this afternoon, and I'll go first, really just to give you thanks for all of your hard work out in the communities. The COVID changes continue to impact each and every one of you, I'm sure, probably personally, definitely professionally. And I know that all of you under Tyrell's leadership, along with Tracy by his side, have just done yeoman's work to keep business enterprises moving forward. And I love the creativity, and I think that's one thing that Tyrell and Tracy and the team have stressed, is you just keep looking for opportunities, you think outside the box, and you know, Tyrell shared with me a couple of the things that you know, we see as real great programmatic highlights over the past year. Securing a site at Greenwich Beach, securing Southern Connecticut State University, and with those two opportunities, giving current operators kind of a second chance, if you will, of continuing as operator roles in those areas. Also, the snack machines at Southern, and then the vending routes, again, another creative, I think, addition to your program is coming up with vending routes that give operators an opportunity to continue their work and be out in the community. And then also working with some of the large school districts. So I'm sure there's more. That's just a thumbnail of probably what you've all done. But It's been an absolute pleasure for me to be a BSBY and to be in the interim director role and to have to be able to touch this program a little bit, especially through Tyrell and Tracy. So thank you, thank you, thank you for all your hard work. I know you'll continue, and anything that I can do as I stay on with BSBY for a little bit longer, please don't hesitate to reach out and let me know. With that, Amy.
Cheryl, that's great.
I had a question for Cheryl. It's Adam Fairbanks. I work at the Old Greenwich Railroad Station, and I wondered who was at the beach concession, what the name of the person was, because I walk down there sometimes.
Oh, great. Thanks for the question, Adam and Tyrell. Correct me if I'm wrong, and hopefully I'm saying this right. Sylvie Ramirez.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for the question.
You're welcome.
Great. And thanks, Cheryl. This is Amy Porter, and, you know, I echo Cheryl's thanks to all of you. I remember meeting with all of you soon after the pandemic started, when everything sort of shut down and we were trying to figure out what this program was going to look like. You were all trying to just catch your breath and figure out what was next, and you have done a great job, as Cheryl said, with Tyrell and Tracy and this group, really thinking about what can this look like in the future. And, you know, I see you rising to that challenge and really helping us rethink and retool, and I think we're becoming a model for other states in looking at us to figure out how do we continue this program moving into the future. We're going to have very different work environments. We have, you know, diminishing numbers of people in, you know, our state buildings, in a lot of the federal buildings. So what can that look like? And I think your creativity as a group has been really helpful, and I look forward to continuing to partner with you and support the program however we can. So thank you all.
Thank you.
Thanks, Amy. Tyrell, just a quick, I didn't know if you mentioned there were a lot of retirements, and obviously BSBY, as a division or a bureau, kind of took their share of hits, including the director and some people out of the overall programs. I think actually you guys got away pretty easily, knock on wood. Hopefully no one out there is planning any surprises. We are in the process of bringing on a new administrative assistant at BSBY, which hopefully will provide some stability and assistance in the administrative support role for the whole bureau. So if your program needs anything, let me know, and we'll see how we transition her into that role on September 23rd. And then we are in the process of interviewing the program manager / director for BSBY. So as that moves forward and I can share any information, or as we make decisions, Tyrell, I'll certainly pass that on to you and Tracy for sharing with your team. But I know those are two roles, one probably particularly, that people are curious about, so we will keep you posted on those hires. And other than that, thank you. If there's any questions that we can take, or I may listen in for a little while longer, but again, thanks for letting us poke into your meeting this afternoon.
Thank you. All right. Anyone have any questions? Concerns? Hopefully no concerns.
Right.
Thanks,
Donna.
Concerns, save them for later. No. But thank you. Thank you both. So, all right, if there's no questions, let's move on the agenda as we still have quite a bit of items to discuss. So thank you both. So next on the agenda, we have the approval of the minutes of last meeting. Chairman Roberts.
I'd like to ask for someone to make a motion.
Hi, Brady. Make a motion to accept the minutes from the last meeting.
Second.
Keith Haley, second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed, say no. Any abstentions?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries.
Thank you. All right, let's get into old business, budget update, income expenses, and rest stops. As to date, the program budget balance is approximately $2.1 million. This balance includes the most recent full annual sponsorship amount of $325,000 received by Pepsi. A monthly average commission, when I looked at the period between January to June, is about $64,500 a month. That's roughly about $12,000 in average a month increase over the last period of January and June 2021. So these commissions are increasing. Our DOT monthly commissions for the rest stop areas remain at $54,000 a month. And our programmatic expenses is roughly around $440,000. That's up about $120,000 from the previous year, which is only just a sign that we are starting to pick back up in operational support. So overall, obviously, the budget is increasing, and that's a good thing. But the thing I always like to remind about the budget is the increase is great, but we have to keep in mind these are programmatic dollars, and certainly we will do our best to try to position operators to, you know, increase their business opportunities by any way possible. But the earnest of these dollars are not earmarked for any operator, but earmarked for the program. And that, you know, the intent is to grow this program and structure this operational program to position you all to either increase your opportunities or give you a path, a career, an upward mobility path, career path, in which we're trying to do. And I think Cheryl highlighted on some of the points that I'll probably rediscuss down the line as to what good we've done in this past year. And so it's good to have the dollars increase while we're also looking to, you know, step into new territories that may cost us. And such as, like, for example, Greenwich Beach, we had to pay for that. We paid. So if we're looking to go into municipal locations and so forth, we may need dollars for that. There's nothing in the law that states that we don't pay for facilities. I guess we've just, you know, through history, been lucky enough to not pay on state properties, but municipal locations typically are always looking for a fee. So we need to keep that in mind when we look to grow and kind of do some creative things to provide an opportunity. So the budget is strong at the moment, and very pleased.
This is Frank with a quick question. Is it too early to ask the question, with the price increases in our vending machines, has that had an effect on it, or is it just too soon to ask that question?
Obviously, with the sales increase, we're essentially going to have a larger commission. But I just think it's just more volume. And I think Tracy's going to touch on that in her update, as it's very detailed in numbers. So I think we'll hear from Tracy in regards to exactly how much, you know, our overall business has picked up in comparison to last year. So I think it's a combination, but I do believe a lot of it has to do with the volume of sales, not so much the increase of sale in turn commission increase. Okay. Next on the agenda, mini Randolph Shepherd regulations update. I myself and Andrew Norton, legislative liaison, have been looking at the proposed first phase, we can consider, regulation update. A lot of the updates that I've seen seem logical and certainly make sense. But I got this part of my brain that's going on when I'm looking at these to see if we can potentially verbalize or adjust the verbiage in these agreements to kind of stand the test of time. The one thing I think we should look to do collectively, and we can figure it out when I submit back to you guys my proposed changes, is that we maybe take actual numbers out of this proposed regulation change, because numbers kind of set a time frame, you know, and what I mean by that is if we're just referencing 20,000, 30,000, that sounds like a lot today. Well, you know, we don't know what it's going to look like in 5 years. Regulations have not been changed in, what, over 30 years. So if we're going to be tasked to make this, you know, historical change, I'd say let's do it so it, these changes can test, stand the test of time. And so Andrew and I are looking at them. We're making some suggestions and so forth. And I do, and I would like to hopefully get these back to you guys, the subcommittee, for review in the next few weeks, probably in a month or so. I don't know, depending. I got a lot of things, and Andrew does as well. Andrew is on a 120 temporary work agreement as well, so his last days are in the month of December. The goal ultimately is to get these changes back to you guys, see if we have some mutual agreement, and then shoot them off to RSA for like a big brother overview of them before we go and do the submittal for legislative request to change. So we are actively working on it, and hopefully I'll get that back to you guys as soon as I can.
Now, I know how we had to submit them. We had, there was like a blue underline and then red font. Can it just be simple and not make us read through the entire thing looking for your updates? Or does it have to be the same way we submitted
it?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. We can figure it out. We'll either, you know, we can put we can underline our changes. But yes, we will make the adjustments, which will allow for everyone to properly view our suggested changes.
Okay.
All right. New business: operators and facility updates, new and existing. So as to date, we have 18 active operators and 22 BEP facilities, which include the latest Hartford Post Office Federal Vending, along with the Southern Post Office Vending District. So that's where we are at the moment. And, you know, when I look at these numbers, and I think just thinking back, you know, obviously a year or so ago was to... The discussions were always, let's grow the program, let's grow the program, let's make the program big. But that doesn't do anything for individual operators. So I think, you know, obviously we know the times we're in. Hopefully you all understand and see our mission to try to find new opportunities. And also while understanding that a lot of these potential opportunities are currently under contract, that we need to shift the focus onto each and every one of you. While patiently waiting for these potential increase in opportunities. So, you know, I'm having, obviously, we have weekly calls in-house, or meetings, I should say, with the field reps and Tracy, myself. And, you know, we're always constantly trying to think of new ideas, new things to increase your current opportunities to hopefully, you know, resonate in financial increase. But with that, you know, there has to be the mindset from you all as operators to want to receive this information and these suggestions and try to, you know, put the same efforts and energies in wanting to assist in increasing your current opportunities while you may be waiting for new opportunities or additional opportunities. Should they come, but this is where we are, 18 operators and 22 facilities at this time. And with that, I will now pass it off to Tracy to provide an update in regards to our statewide vending contract holder, Pepsi.
Okay, thank you, Tyrell, and hello, everyone. Currently, we have 2,297 machines statewide. That includes all federal, state, and municipal locations, including schools. That breaks down to 1,314 machines that are in non-school locations. 983 of those are in school locations. 1,418 of those machines are beverage machines. 859 are snack machines,
17 ice cream machines and 3 cold food machines. We have $3 million in revenue through July of 2022, which is a 48% increase over last year. 700,000 in commissions through July 2022, which is an increase of 50% over last year. Main reason, schools are now open. There's more routes and more products. And just a general comparison from Coke contract versus Pepsi contract, we have an 18% overall increase in commissions for total beverage and snacks. Frank was mentioning, the price increase was granted. The MEC increase rates began July 1st, and they are now 100% complete. So it is too soon to realize any of that new data, as we are always a month in arrears. A little fun fact, the top 5 flavors by revenue for all of the Besby 1 and Besby 2 machines, again, keeping in mind this includes schools, 20% of the overall flavor is Aquafina water, followed by Pepsi, followed by Diet Pepsi, then Mountain Dew, and then Life Water. A few challenges remain as post-pandemic. Logistics and labor remain challenges. Pepsi finds still extremely hard to hire and retain drivers. Product availability continues to remain a problem, with Pure Leaf and Gatorade in particular, due to their unique bottle design, which then impacts similar drinks like Brisk, lemonade, and seltzer. Pepsi's constantly, globally and locally, troubleshooting to best serve and overcome these obstacles. This year and last year, we put high priority on high volume rest area, railroad, seasonal locations with weekly on-demand fills and additional fills as needed. Also, Pepsi providing weekly staff visits to locations, and Besby staff, we continue to conduct audits statewide throughout the year. Overall, we've been having a great year in the vending arena. We collaborate with colleagues. Also, that has yielded many new placements. To highlight a few, we had a joint letter that went out with the State Department of Education to reinforce our priority. It went out to all business managers, food service directors, and superintendents. We are working with the UConn Medical Center to establish our priority for all snack machines, working with the Southern Connecticut State University, establishing our priority for all snack vending machines on campus. We created 2 federal post office routes, and we also had the first time the presence in the Waterbury cafeteria school system, which yielded over 20 new placements, and also our first time placement for vending at the Quinnabog Community College. Which is very exciting. We continue to have many other new placements throughout the state as well. Tyrell and I routinely meet with Pepsi and senior management weekly, and I speak daily with Pepsi's dedicated liaison. Pepsi's 100% dedicated to the success of our program. And please, if I can be of any assistance, don't hesitate to reach out to me. Thank you.
Awesome. All right. Thank you. If anyone, if you know questions, we can move on to the case rebate reallocation of funds.